Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Amen. Who's blessed today? Who's ready for God's word? Well, I've been in a series called Making Most of the Middle. In week one, I looked at the children of Israel. And I looked at the children of Israel, when they went through the wilderness. And we looked at when they got to the promised land. We spoke about their thought life, we spoke about the importance of the way that we think in this season. We've spoken about our language. We looked at last week, Shibboleth and Sibboleth. Who remembers that sermon? About three people. I'm glad. It's a great sermon. You need to grab that on podcast and the transition that you go through in the middle season and how important language is. How many of you know that words are important? Things that we say are important. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it, the word of God says, will eat of its fruit. And these people, they could not transition to the next phase of destiny because of wrong language. Bad language, not as in swearing, but negativity and cynicism and a lack of faith will diminish our ability to transition in the purposes of God. James says the tongue is like a rudder on a ship. It's small, but plays a significant role. And that rudder has an ability to steer a ship in any direction it chooses, or that the captain, the pilot, determines. And so the tongue is the same thing, but more than that, it has the ability to take us, the rudder can get you from one location to another. So is the power of our words, amen? So today we're going to continue in this series. This will be the last sermon I'm preaching on making most of the middle. This term we did 7 weeks on wisdom, 3 weeks of making most of the middle, thereabouts. And this will be it. And then we'll have a new series in term four that's coming up, which is going to be very, very cool. By the way, this weekend would have been conference weekend for our church. Hey, amazing to think that. This would have been Sunday morning of conference. Until next year, it'll be bigger and better in Jesus' name. One of the key characteristics of modern life is speed. We want everything to go faster. A sense of urgency has infiltrated our entire lives, prompting us to walk faster, talk faster, eat faster, and drive faster and sleep less. We're all praying and believing for faster internet speeds because we have this innate urgency that things must be faster. I don't know about you, but this desire for things to be faster, there's a lot of good that's come out of it. It's good having a fast internet speed. But at the same time, when things are too fast, we can actually be out of sync with the way that the discipleship process of God in our lives. God is patient. He takes his time on things. Sometimes when you go on holidays because of today's pace, for some people it can literally take them about 4 to 5 days to slow down before they actually feel like they are on holidays. I remember going to the Philippines, preaching in the Philippines, and they said to me, they said, Pastor Brad, when you get to the airport, we won't be able to come in, but we'll meet you outside in Manila. They said, make sure that you go to the bathroom before you jump in the car because we've got a lengthy drive ahead of us. I had a look on Google Maps because I like to be organized from where I'm landing to where I'm staying, and it was 12 kilometers. I thought to myself, no way it's going to be that long. I had never been to Manila before. That was my big mistake. What was a 12-kilometer journey turned out to be about a 5-hour car ride to get from one location to the next. I had to learn to slow down. We're going to pick up a story today about a middle season, a season where a man had to learn to slow down. He had a need. He had a desire. He had a miracle that he desperately needed from Jesus. And he goes through a process where he is called to slow down. It appears to be a delay, appears to be a denial in the purposes of God. Yet God was doing something amazing in the middle, in the slow down season. Not all of us can slow down. When we drive, every car in front of us is an obstacle to be moved out of the way. We don't like slowing down in 21st century life. But if we don't learn to slow down, our lives at times, speed's good at times, but if we don't learn to slow down, we will in essence not be in sync with the discipleship processes of God in our lives. There's a man by the name of Jairus. His 12-year-old daughter is sick. In fact, she's more than sick. He comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, "Jesus, could you please come to my house? My daughter is at the point of death." Jesus responds and says, "I'll go with you, Jairus. Time is of the essence. Every second matters." We're not talking about a little girl that was unwell. We're talking about a 12-year-old girl that is at the point of death. Seconds matter. Minutes matter. Urgency matters in this situation. Jesus starts to walk to Jairus' house. Crowd is around Jesus. And there's a lady who interrupts, so to speak, the story. We know her as the woman with the issue of blood. She's had constant bleeding. And the Bible says that she had spent all of her livelihood to get well, but could not be made well by any physician. Her last opportunity to get well, she decides, if I can get through the crowd and I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. So this lady, she makes her way through and she reaches out and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment and she is supernaturally healed. Jesus stops and he says, "Somebody touch me." The disciples, they say, "Well, Jesus, of course people have touched you. Everybody's around you." And he says, "No, someone touch me. Power has gone out of me. Who is it?" Well, this lady comes and she says, "It was me." She was supernaturally healed. Put yourself in Jairus' position. Jairus was the first person to ask, yet this other lady seems to be coming into the story and she seems to be delaying what should be Jairus' miracle. This lady comes into the story appearing to deny what should have been in the order of logic. She was the bad manners, really. She was the one to come second. Jairus was the one to ask first. What happens when you're believing God for something? What happens when you're trusting God for something? And it seems as though things happen in that journey that slows down or puts a speed bump in the processes of God. There are slowdown moments that happen in Scripture that are God-inspired. And this season that we've been in as society, as a church, as a community of believers, they forced a little bit of a slowdown. It's forced us to reevaluate. It's forced us to have a look at how we do things and what God is up to. And I'm just wondering if these middle seasons, God uses them to be able to do some things in us so that he can further do great things through us. I want you to notice that before I get into my key points of my message today, when Jesus speaks to this woman in Luke chapter 8, verse 48, then he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well." Jairus has a need. He needs his daughter to be supernaturally healed. But in the presence of Jairus, two things are told to this lady. Jesus firstly calls her daughter, referring to a father-child relationship. And secondly, she is commended for her faith. Could it be that this woman, in fact, has become a model for Jairus of what he would need in his future? And sometimes the interruptions, come on, church, now I'm preaching now. Sometimes the slowdowns, sometimes the things that seem to be delaying and detouring us, or taking us on a detour rather, in the purposes of God, maybe they are in fact put there by God to actually teach us something, for us to be able to grab something, because we need it in our future for what God actually has in store for us. Because how many of you know that on the other side, it's going to be bigger? Come on now, I'm prophesying today. On the other side, it's going to be greater. On the other side, the harvest is going to be larger than what we've ever experienced. The best worship songs are yet to be written. The best sermons are yet to be preached. The largest Christian businesses are yet to be built. It's going to be bigger. And the detour, the delay is not there to hurt us. It's there maybe because God is actually doing something. Now, I'm not saying God invented the virus. I don't believe Jesus put sickness on people. By his stripes, we were already healed. Past tense, it's already done. But all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. God can use things to shape us and to mold us for his glory. So I want to speak about three slowdowns. I want to talk about three things that God may be doing in the middle season to potentially get us ready for what he has on the other side. Number one, he slows us down to possibly arrest our attention. Often in your journey, you will have to stop. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There's one thing that the shepherd makes the sheep do. Every other time in Psalm 23, he leads. But in this instance, there's one thing that the shepherd makes the sheep do, and that is he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Could it be that the slowdown, God is asking you to look at some of the great things that are actually going on around you, to look at some of the miracles, to look at some of the things that the Lord's actually doing, not to mock you, but to inspire, to lift and to boost and to energize you? Because the truth is, even though it seems like a slowdown, he's coming to your house, but there's a faith that's needed in you for what God has in store for you. Remember years ago when Alison and I first came to Sydney, and it's coming up to 7 years next month. And I remember just the challenges of where our church was at the time, particularly from a financial perspective. I remember about a year later, I happened to be in Perth, and often when I'm in Perth, I'll try and catch up with Pastor David Storer. And in their church, their experience, they had someone who just supernaturally, blessing God, wrote a $1 million bank check to the church. And so I had heard about it. I had semi-rejoiced because I said, what about me, Lord? And when I was with Pastor David, the business manager of the church, he heard that I was there, and he kind of knocked on Pastor David's door. Brad, great to see you. And he had a photocopy of the check. And he goes, I just felt in my heart to give you the photocopy of the check. And I'm like, what was that going to do? And here I held this photocopy of this bank check of $1 million and kind of just looking at it. And it was interesting to watch how my heart responded. There was a part of me that was like, wow, God, you're amazing. This is so cool. That's the spiritual side of me. And then the non-spiritual side of me is like, but what about us at Horizon Church? You know, we're also part of the kingdom of God. Jesus said he loves us equally. So if he loves these people, surely he loves us as well. We could do with a little bit of blessing and help in the purposes of God. And I found my heart wandering left and right. Instead of being in a place of rejoicing, I was actually in a place of comparing. I was in a place of insecurity. I was in a place where my heart was shrinking rather than realizing that the woman with the issue of blood, she's not there to hurt my faith. She's there to motivate and inspire my faith, knowing that he's a faithful God and he's on his way to my house. I just need to see a few miracles along the way, not to hurt me or harm me, but to inspire me for what God has in my future. It's an interesting thing in life to be truly happy for someone else's success. It's an interesting thing in Christianity to be truly happy when somebody does super well. And often the root cause is, of course, jealousy and insecurity, because we make the mistake of thinking that somebody else's success undermines mine. We make the mistake of thinking that God has such a limited ability to pour out blessing that if he gives the blessing to them, then there's no more blessing for us. We make the mistake of thinking that just because someone else gets blessed, my blessing has been canceled and forfeited. And we've got to realize that maturity calls us to a place that when others are being blessed around us, maybe it's a sign that Jesus is actually walking to your house and the woman with the issue of blood is there to inspire you and to build your faith, not to pull down your faith. So I remember praying over this check, piece of paper that is, and I remember looking at it. And I remember God stirring my heart saying, can you believe? Can you believe that if I could do it there, I'm able to do it over here? And I remember kind of one day not wanting to look at it because it made me sad. But then at the same time, I had to learn these blessings are there not to hurt me or to pull me. These blessings are there to say, God, you're doing it there. You can do it at Horizon Church. I speak it and declare a debt cancellation in the mighty name of Jesus. How's your attention going? Are you looking at the things around you and saying, the Lord blessed her. Isn't that so good, Jesus? Oh, the Lord elevated him. The Lord poured into his bank account. Man, that person is getting married. How good is that? Maybe Jesus is walking to my house as well. Amen. Number two, these middle seasons, they slow us down to cause us to reevaluate. Reevaluation is good. Who knows that to be true? So Jesus gets to Jairus' house. Look at what happens in Luke chapter 8, verse 49. It says, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. So the Greek there reads, dead is your daughter. So in other words, it's a strong, it's a bold statement. So Jesus responds, and he says in Luke chapter 8, verse 52, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. So you've got contending atmospheres. One, the crowd, Gonski, she's dead, it's not happening. Jesus is like, no, she's just having a good sleep. I'm gonna go and I'm actually gonna wake her up. So you've got competing atmospheres. You got negative words. The crowd in Luke chapter 8, verse 53, it says that they laughed at Jesus. Yeah, imagine that, a dead 12-year-old girl, and this crowd is having a good old laugh because of what Jesus said. So they had scorn in them. Right. Now, look at Jairus' situation. Jairus is hearing both. He's hearing the negativity, he's hearing the cynicism, he's hearing the crowd laughing, he's hearing Jesus say, but she's just having a good sleep, I'm gonna go so that I can actually wake her up. So you've got a chaotic and a confusing atmosphere, two atmospheres that are at odds with each other. And when we go through these middle seasons help us to evaluate what is cynical, what is negative, what is not from God, versus what is the voice of the Good Shepherd. Learning to listen to his voice. Learning to know what he says about the situation. The crowd are always going to have an opinion. The crowd are fickle. One day they said, make him king. The next day they said, crucify him. So crowd's opinions are always going to change. And we've got to reevaluate in this season what is the voice of the crowd and what is the voice of the Good Shepherd. I'm amazed how many people have made YouTube their pastor. I'm amazed how many people watch so much stuff on end times and all kinds of conspiracy. You watch too many of those conspiracy theory stuff on YouTube. It is not good for you. It'll cause you to have a chaotic and a confused mind in the purposes of God. You need to learn to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. I've got news for you. Not everything on YouTube is right. No way. You got to learn to separate and reevaluate what you've allowed to come into your world that's actually the voice of the crowd, the voice of negativity and cynicism versus the voice of the Holy Spirit. These days you can get onto Twitter. There's some nasty people on Twitter these days. I follow it because, you know, I follow some of the political stuff and journalists and so on. There's some heavy-duty people on there who've got some pretty nasty opinions about people and things. And we've got to be careful, church. We've got to make sure, like Jairus, he had a contending atmosphere, but the miracle came because he chose to listen to the voice of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 51, watch what happens. It says, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John. There are certain things, if you want to embrace the purposes of God, you've got to leave some things behind. You've got to leave some of the noise of the crowd, leave their perspectives, come on, their thoughts, their opinions, their ideas. They're very opinionated and it's lovely, God bless them. But I want a miracle and I can't take that into my future if I want what God has installed. There are certain things you've got to let go of. He took Peter, James, and John. Thank God for awesome friends, amen. Come on, thank God for spiritual friends who love you, bless you, want the best for you, want to encourage you, want to fill you with hope, want to declare over you all things are possible. Thank God for Peter, James, and John. So they go on a journey. Verse 54 says, and he put them all outside. How about in this middle season? Maybe this is the season where you've got to start to put some things outside. Like, bless it, thank you, Lord, but I can't allow it in my home. I can't allow it in the place of intimacy in my relationship with God. I can't allow it to get in between Jesus and my miracle. I've got to learn to put certain things outside. He took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Spirit return. She arose immediately. Your atmosphere, your relational group, people that we connect with, people that we listen to, the voices in our lives, they matter. We got to reevaluate. Got to reevaluate the things that we think relationally are important. We're going to make sure that we're running with people who are passionate for Jesus, passionate for his presence, passionate for his word, passionate about things, passionate about moving forward in the purposes of God. Now watch what happens. The slowdown season is an incredible season because it gives us the opportunity to be able to, number three, to wrestle. The slowdown season gives us the opportunity to wrestle with the text. You know when it's busy and you're kind of running around You know, you're going here, going there, and life is just, it can be an addiction. You know, activity, let me say this to you, write this down, activity is not necessarily fruitfulness. You can have activity, it doesn't necessarily mean you're being fruitful. What Jesus is into is fruitfulness, not activity. There's lots of activity, doesn't necessarily mean it's fruit. So activity is blessed, but in the end, we actually have to do a fruit checkup. Is it actually producing fruit? So what God wants from us is fruit. Jesus said, by their fruit, you will know them, not by their activity. Amen. And so this season gives us the opportunity to get into a wrestling match. How good is that? We learn to wrestle with the stuff that we're reading, the things that we're digesting. Peter, James, and John, they had this opportunity. They were brought into an arena where they got to wrestle with what they saw, what they heard, things they observed. I want you just for a moment to call out your favorite psalm. I'm just gonna give you 1 second to have a bit of a think about it. Are you ready? Here we go. Favorite psalm in the history of humanity is? Me too, amen. We got a psalm that you've wrestled with. That psalm at times has given you comfort, it's given you strength. How many of you know every time you get into a wrestling match with that psalm, God shows you something new? There are certain things, I love Psalm 23. Sometimes Psalm 1 though as well, I have to let you know that. But for today's sermon, we'll say Psalm 23. There are things I saw 5 years ago, 6 years ago in Psalm 23, I was like, I know it all. And then a year later, it's like, man, oh man, I've never seen that before. And then a year after that, I get into a wrestling match with Psalm 23. God opens it up even more because His word is inexhaustible. You can never know it all. And there are things that you wrestle with in the purposes of God, and it's like a seesaw that challenges your thoughts and your ideas about what you've read, and you see more of the heart of God as you wrestle with the text. Peter, James, and John, they were given this opportunity. Think about this for a moment. 9 disciples, but only 3 had this opportunity. 12 disciples, 9 were left behind. 3 had this opportunity, Peter, James, and John. On 3 occasions, they went with Jesus to a secluded, to a place of intimacy. They saw things and they had the opportunity to wrestle with what they observed and what they heard. The first one was the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration, you know the story. Peter, James, and John go up. Jesus' appearance changes. And the Bible says Moses and Elijah appear. And in this moment of incredible glory, Peter thinks he wants to be the spokesperson again. And he says, Lord, should we make a tabernacle? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. A voice comes from heaven, says, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. In other words, stop making a monument out of the experience. All you need is Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Have a read of it. The very last verse of the story of the Mount Transfiguration says, and all they saw was him. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, they discovered that Jesus would be glorified in his death. They were in a wrestle with the purposes of God. They experienced, they saw something in God, and they realized this man will be glorified in his death. They had a second opportunity, Peter, James, and John. And that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark's account of the Garden of Gethsemane, it tells us that Peter, James, and John were taken with Jesus to a place of prayer that the other 9 were left behind. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, I've been to the Garden of Gethsemane before, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, they saw a man, sweat drops like blood. He prayed a prayer and he said, Father, if it's your will, please take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will be done. and they saw Jesus surrender to death. Glorified in his death, surrendered to death. But in the home of Jairus, what did they learn? There was death, but they saw a God who is able, and a God where nothing is impossible, that he is the God who is victorious over death. And this wrestle was going on in them. They saw aspects of Jesus that was beautiful and amazing. But the crowd, however, the crowd, they made a big mistake. And their mistake was, is that they thought that Jesus could only help things that were alive. Peter, James, and John saw that he is the resurrection and the life. Don't discount the middle season. Don't discount the things that God's doing. Wrestle with what you're hearing, seeing, observing. Listen to the voice of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and encourage you. There are things in your life where things have been dead. He is the resurrection and the life. He can make the axe head float in Jesus' name. And we declare today in the name of Jesus that the middle season is not a season where we waste it at Horizon Church. God is up to something great as we wrestle and we hear his voice. I had a wrestling match on Wednesday. It's a pastor in the US that God had just supernaturally, musos and singers, you could come. If I could have a bit more keys in the fallback, please, Jared, that would be greatly appreciated. There we go. Give me atmosphere, atmosphere. And this pastor, it was quite a supernatural connection, to be honest. So we organized this Zoom meeting. Having this great Zoom meeting, chatting, and I started to share with him just some of the things that we're going through as a church, what's coming up in the future. He's written this incredible book, and it was actually through, he's an author, it was through the book that I connected with. I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to send this guy an email. Why not? He responded within like 10 minutes. I'm like, cool, let's do a Zoom call. And so I was just chatting. It was a God connection. And in this God connection, he's a professor, at a university, a Christian university in the US. And just a spiritual man, sharp. It was just an anointed time. And we wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And there was a seesaw. And he spoke some things prophetically that he didn't even know he was saying. Things into my spirit, things into my heart as we wrestle. Because I made a decision that the middle season, even if I don't know when dates and how things are going to work out in time to come, but all I know is I'm hearing his voice. He's leading. He's showing. He's changing. Don't get so caught up with the crowd of the negativity and the cynicism. Hear the voice of Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Come into the place of intimacy. He said a few things, and I was like, wow, I've just heard from God. I've just had an experience with Jesus. Church, don't waste the middle season. God is up to something great. Can we just stand up on our feet right now? Can we just gently just surrender ourselves to the purposes of God? Surrender ourselves afresh. Surrender your heart. Surrender your mind. Surrender your soul. Come on, some of us need to surrender our emotions. Your emotions have been getting the better of you. It's time to surrender in the middle season. Some of us, it's our language, our voices. I'm not saying you're swearing, but you've gotten a bit negative. A bit of cynicism's crept in. Come on, we're surrendering that today. Where? In the middle season. Some of us, our thought life felt disconnected. You know, the truth is, You're not disconnected. You're loved. You're loved by Jesus. Felt a bit, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You're loved today. Where? In the middle season. Some of us, you just felt directionless. The pain of the middle season, not knowing dates, times. You're an organized person. You're a calendar person. Problem with the middle season, the calendar's a little bit all over the place. How can you predict? How can you plan in a year from now? How can you know what's coming up? We can't. But you know what it gives you an opportunity for? Cloud by day, fire by night. When He moves, we move. When He stops, we stop. When He speaks, we listen. Where? In the middle season. This middle season's not your enemy. It's your friend if you place it under the Lordship of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we surrender. We surrender. Come on, are there any surrendered people? I feel it now. Are there any surrendered people at Horizon Church? We surrender. We surrender. Present your body as a living sacrifice. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender. Where do we do it? In the middle season. In the middle season. We surrender. The Lord's talking to you right now. We're just going to open up the altars just as an act of worship. Maybe some of the team, just push some of those seats back. Just make sure when, if you do come down to the altar, keep space. We're going to worship. There's a fresh call to surrenderance this morning, church, in the middle season. The Holy Spirit's talking to you. You can just gently step out of your seat, come right down the front. Come on. The Lord's just talking to people. If you just got that sense right now, a fresh sense of surrender in the middle season. Fresh sense of surrender in the middle season. Holy Spirit, we just honor you today. In the middle season, in the middle season. Come right down, come right down. Come on, I know there's more of you today. Come right down as an act of faith in the middle season, in the middle season, in the middle season. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. Come on, the touch of the Holy Spirit's here right now. Things are shifting. There's faith in the atmosphere. There's a change that's taking place. There's a metamorphosis that's happening. Where is it happening? It's happening in the middle season. Where is it happening? In the middle season. In the middle season. In the middle season. We choose to praise Him in the middle season. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord in the middle season. In the middle season. We're just going to worship the Lord together just for a few moments, church.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.